The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. We haven't done one since last Monday because I had surgery on Thursday, and we were supposed to do one yesterday, but we didn't do that because I had to go to the hospital again. So our apologies for being a little late to the party, but we are here. Lewis, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a little bit of a chaotic couple days here. It only snows a few times a year, but when it fucking snows, it snows hard. So I got snowed in with James. Usually I drop him off at school on Mondays. I have, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just sort of do my thing. Usually is the busier part of my week. Because he was snowed in with me, they didn't give him off of school. Mm-hmm. So they have him stay home from school, but because they've been missing so much school, they still homeschooled them. So yesterday I homeschooled James. Today I had to homeschool James while at the same time shoveling out an entire house, you know, 2 feet worth of snow. I tried to get Harrington to come over and do it. He said no.
Well, you know, Harrington, he's a little delicate flower, isn't he? So he probably couldn't shovel too well. I remember when I was a kid, anytime school was off, you know, there was talk of that because of the snow. It was the best feeling in the world. You know what I mean? You got to remember that as a kid, the snow starts coming down. You're like, oh my God, do you think they'll cancel school tomorrow? But of course, as you mentioned right now, that doesn't matter because it's all, well, a lot of it's virtual online anyway.
Like Lucas, well, he goes 2 to 3 days a week, and then 2 to 3 days a week is virtual depending on the week. But yeah, because they don't have that, they're missing in a bunch of school, they're not even giving them the school that he was supposed to be in school, but they said, you know what, fuck it, virtual.
Yeah. Well, Lucas does the first 3 hours every day. He does school, then he comes home and does 3 hours virtual. So I'm not even sure what the point of that is, but still, yeah, all right, well, you snowed in there. I had neck surgery, as you can see there, last week. Walk in the park, piece of fucking piss. Not bad.
It's so
at all
funny, like, to a woman, like, if Rebecca had that on her neck, she might kill herself. She might actually, but you're like a rugged dude. You got fucking scar tissue. You got those big fucking nasty ass cauliflower ears. You're a fucking walking cyborg. So it just makes you look kind of cooler.
Well, thank you. Why don't you insult me some fucking money? You got those cauliflower ears. You got your wonky eye. You know, no one gives a fuck what you look like, Michael. And you know what? No, to be honest, I did an audition before, and I was like, this fucking fits the part. And if they say anything, my agent can just say, well, it's okay, he had surgery, it'll be gone by the time you do the role. But it actually, you know, for the role that I was doing, I even contemplated taking my eye out. I'm like, hold on, this is fucking badass for the role. But anyway, yeah.
What is this role? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Body at the bottom of a river?
Exactly. Oh God. But yeah, no, I had the surgery last week. That was, it wasn't as bad compared to the knee replacements. It was nothing. So,
what you showed us of the video, it looked way worse, but it's just because the idea of doing spinal surgery through the front of the neck just seems really gruesome, but the recovery is not as bad, huh?
Well, it is. And well, the recovery isn't as bad. It is gruesome though. It's just that I'm asleep for all of it. I don't know anything about it. I went in. They did say, listen, this is a little bit different. You're going to be really out, unconscious. Generally, for the knee replacements or things like that, they give you an epidural in the spine from the neck down. You're numb. You don't feel anything. He said, this is different. You're going to be full general anesthetic. You're going to be completely out head to toe. And yeah, I was very, very severely medicated when I came around, and I have been for the last few days. But if you look at that, you know, it's looking good, looking good. So
it does. I mean, it's only been a week, and it, you know, it looks like it's healing up pretty nicely. All right.
It doesn't feel any different. Is the reality. I could do that before and I can still do that now, but it's healing. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it doesn't feel like the neck of a 21-year-old virgin, like the neck of a
you're supposed to have virgin throat.
Virgin throat. you know, that could make a joke there, but I'm not going to. But yeah, so that was that. And then
this thing's throat is no longer used up.
Listen, I'm just going to throw it out there. Things are going to be a little weird. I want you to fuck me in my throat. Okay. Come on. You've done some sloppy vaginas in your time. Oh, yeah. And then yesterday, we were getting ready for the show. You know, I was texting Gilbert Burns and blah, 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 blah. Just like sorting.
Who will be on later on today, by the way?
Who is on later today? Thank you very much, Gilbert Burns, for his flexibility. Flexibleness for your...
You had it right.
Flexibility. Oh, yeah. Thank you for accommodating us with your schedule, Gilbert. Yesterday we were about to start the show and I was doing a phone call. And then I essentially went blind. I just couldn't focus on anything. And then in one corner, I just had this big white light. And I'm like, oh my God. I started freaking out. I was terrified. Obviously, I've had detached retinas before. So I was like, oh God, I don't believe this. When you've only got one eye, you don't want your other eye to detach the retina. But anyway, so I rushed down to the hospital, spent many hours there. False alarm. Ocular migraine, which apparently can cause temporary blindness. I wasn't blind, I just couldn't focus. And as I say, I had this white light. So that's why we're a day late. We apologize, but we're here and we got a lot to talk about.
I'm very excited that you're not blind. I mean, you can still do the podcast blind. I'm not super concerned about it. The throat, I get concerned about. Your tongue, anything with your mouth. This is getting a little bit gay. I'm not going to lie.
You know, I was thinking that yesterday. Honestly, I thought I was going to go blind. I actually did. And, you know, I was very, very upset. I was very worried because then you start to think all kinds of things. You think, I can't provide for my family. I can't work. Like, we can do a podcast, but what am I going to talk about? I haven't seen much lately. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can hear things, I guess. I can read. I'm going to have to learn Braille. Okay. It was hard enough learning to fucking read the standard way. Learning Braille, that seems very, very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, what would you talk about if you're doing we should do a blind cast one day where we just both come in blindfold and we do the podcast in complete darkness.
Extra sensory. You know what I mean? It's like, you're really in touch with your emotions and all that type of thing. No, but I started thinking, I heard Lucas talking in the background and I thought, I'm not going to know what he looks like when he grows up and all these, you know, these horrible visions in my mind. My wife just came with a cup of tea. She's laughing at me. I was being a bit of a drama queen yesterday, but I'm like, you don't know what the prospect of being blind feels like.
That touched me. I was like, oh, he wants to know what his son looks like when he gets older. And your wife just cackled in your face.
No, she did. She was like, oh, she rolled her eyes as she put down my cup of tea. And I guarantee there's not enough fucking sweetener or sugar in it. You know, she doesn't even get that right. But yeah, I'm not blind and I've got a neck. I've got a throat and we're all good. And Gilbert Burns is joining us later. How about George St. Pierre last week, by the way? Thank you again, George. Incredible, incredible work. Lot of MMA notes to talk about. We've got some big fights coming up. There's a good fight at the weekend, Alistair Overeem. We was going to get into all the notes and whatnot, but I was just on Let in Bed this morning and I saw on the news last night, LeBron James. I'm not the biggest basketball fan, neither are you, so we're not going to pretend we are. But everyone knows who LeBron James is, probably the biggest or one of the biggest athletes on the planet. And apparently last night he was playing and somebody that had courtside tickets, his wife, I think she's one of the housewives of, fuck knows, I don't know. You know, one of these cities. And there was a little altercation. Here we go, Brian's got the tape. Let's have a listen, because I haven't actually seen this. I just saw the news before.
Set LeBron off in Cleveland.
This lady. Wow.
Well, she's pointing like that one meme with the lady and the cat.
Yeah, and then she came out, she did a video today. The video was even worse. She did a video today and she was like, LeBron called me a bitch and blah, 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 blah.
Who is this chick?
That one? Oh, yeah. She's just a housewife of Atlanta or Dallas or one of those trashy shows. And she's the head Karen for whichever show it is. I'm going to say that. Press play.
I'm minding my own business and Chris has been a Hawks fan forever. He's been watching the games for 10 years, whatever. He has this issue with LeBron. I don't have an issue with LeBron. I don't give a fuck about LeBron. Anyway, I'm minding my own business, drinking my wine, having fun. All of a sudden, LeBron says something to my husband and I see this and I go, I stand up and go, don't fucking talk to my husband. And he looks at me and he goes, sit the fuck down, bitch. And I go, don't fucking call me a bitch. You sit the fuck, get the fuck out of here. And I go, don't fucking talk to my husband like that. Don't talk to my husband. And he literally was like, fuck you, bitch. Sit down, bitch. And all of a sudden, now I'm getting kicked out. Excuse me, I have courtside seats that I pay for. Fuck you, Rom. You're a fucking pussy. Get the fuck out of here. You're going to let a 25-year-old girl intimidate you during a game? Bye.
I like her. I'm on her side. I don't care what you say. She's hot. Look.
She's not hot. She's fucking hot. Trash, man. Come on. She's not hot. Just because like she's done herself up a bit. She's got a stupid... Hey, listen, here's another thing. Using that stupid sparkle filter that people use, girls use, don't do that because number one, you know straight away it's a filter. Secondly, yeah. It's not a good look and she's a trashy girl. I don't know why I did this, but I went down the rabbit hole this morning and then like I found pictures of her husband and stuff and he's like three times her age. He's obviously a rich guy.
Hell yeah.
But I don't, yeah.
Good for him too. Oh, good for him.
Oh, 100%. No, good for him. You know, he's enjoying himself. He's enjoying the fruits of his labor. But I'm assuming you haven't, have you ever sat courtside at a basketball game, Lewis?
You gotta fucking, really, Bisping? You gotta be an asshole. Fine, we know. Yes, you're a former UFC champion. You've got courtside seats. I'm just a lowly comedian. No, I have never.
That's not what I was saying.
I get what you're trying to do. Go ahead.
Because it's not easy to do that unless you buy them yourself, you spend a fortune, or you get invited for some reason. I don't know. That's why I was asking the question. You're very defensive, Lewis. It was very defensive.
Loaded question.
It was a genuine question. Have you ever sat courtside at an NBA game? No. Answer the question.
I've been to three NBA games in my life, and it was way up in the nosebleeds.
Okay, so there you go. So I could have gone down a different route. I could have talked, because you know what it's like, Lewis, when you're courtside, and you could have been like, no, I've never been there. I was trying to save you that embarrassment, Lewis.
Have you ever sat courtside at a basketball game, Bisping?
Fucking many times. but not since I'm not the champion of the world. This is what Gilbert Burns needs to know. Later. These are the type of doors that open temporarily. It's amazing. You know, when you sit there courtside, it's almost like being in the octagon at a UFC event, right? Because you can, I was never really a basketball fan and I'm not a big fan now, but I do enjoy the sport. But when you're courtside or even just in the arena, to be honest, you can really experience how big these men are. They're fucking gigantic. Yeah. They're extremely athletic. They're diving through the air. And when you're there, you're like, whoa.
It's like feet wild. In front of you. It's a different thing. Like I spend half the time looking at the screens when I'm at a basketball game or a baseball game. The only thing I can compare it to is I have sat in press row at UFC events or Bellator events. And that is, you know, pretty, but the, with the cage being right there, you're constantly reminded that you're not in the octagon with them.
Yeah, exactly. But when you're there courtside, literally, you've seen sometimes the players, they fall into the crowd because they're there. They're literally a couple of feet away from the sidelines. And I think if you're in that position, you know, I don't know what the language is when you buy the seats. Maybe there is a code of conduct or something. Maybe Harrington knows that. I asked him earlier. But one would think there's a certain decorum. There's a certain way you act. And if you're courtside, you don't start shouting and jumping up and flipping off LeBron James and all the rest of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Who is her husband? Why did they have a beef with LeBron? I'm just trying to understand that.
I don't think that's important. He's just a rich guy that's a sports fan that doesn't get on with LeBron. Maybe he was a fan of the other team, not LeBron's team. So whatever. Maybe.
But they didn't know each other though. That's okay. I just wanted to. So I mean, this it's sort of a non-story. You know, who cares? LeBron shouldn't fucking. He shouldn't really care. James, I'm on the air, Bubba.
Thank you. I don't think he called her a bitch, though. That's what she's claiming. And then I saw this morning, LeBron James has cameras on him 24/7. You know what I mean? If he used those words, they would catch it. They would have a mime guy.
I also don't give a shit if he did. Like, who cares? Who the fuck are you that I can't call you a bitch? Fuck you. Shut up.
It's like, listen, I'm performing my job right now and you're sitting courtside and you're
acting like a bitch.
Acting like a bitch. Okay. It's the perfect word. I remember Dana White called me up after I won the belt when I knocked out Rockhold. He offered me Dan Henderson. He also had a word with me about some of my decorum at the post-fight press conference and, you know, some of my choice words. And I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes Dana, it's just the perfect word. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. I saw that this morning. I thought we might have a laugh at that, but you shot that one down, Lewis. It's a non-story. Okay.
I'm just saying I have no problem with this girl. I have no problem with LeBron. It's just sort of like a moment where a fan got unruly, and it's just because it's a rich, hot fan that it's sort of a story. I mean, people in every arena in the country.
I think she's known though, right? She's like a, you know, one of these TV shows, The Real Housewives of such and such.
Harrington.
No. So a lot of fans are talking about like how this could possibly be her audition for Real Housewives, because there is a Real Housewives of Atlanta. So they're saying that like this is her like making her play at getting on that show with a stunt like
that. Well, that's perfect. That is exactly the type of behavior that they want. I don't know if you've seen those shows, Lewis. I don't frequent them, but now and again, I'm flicking through, I see it. You know, some of them are kind of hot as well, so you leave it on, you know, because you want to watch it. My wife's like, why do you watch these shows? I'm like, I don't watch them. I just want to hate on it. But they're pretty good looking, some of them, you know what I mean? So I allow it to seep into my membrane.
Yeah. She was, she's, you know, look, she's a little fucking crazy. Good for her. Good for the guy that's banging her. Good for LeBron. He's got $1 billion. If this is LeBron's biggest problem of the week,
yeah,
I'm fucking jealous of LeBron's life. I had a shovel snow for the past 4 hours. Bisping had his fucking neck sliced open yesterday. We're having more issues than LeBron.
Yeah. Well, he's one of the biggest athletes on the planet. He's got a significantly better life than us.
Real quick, Mike, we should thank Sheath Underwear for supporting today's show. I love my Sheath Underwear. Okay. Not only that, they have t-shirts, they have hoodies, they have workout gear, performance gear. It really is some incredible quality stuff. The underwear is really what we're talking about, though. They have the dual pouch technology, which is unique to Sheath. So essentially, you have a place to put your frankenbeans. It holds it all in one place. It looks great. You look like you're an underwear model every time you throw on these underwear.
And if you've never heard the phrase frankenbeans, we're talking about your penis and your testicles, okay, to use the scientific terminolo. Listen, and the dual pouch thingy, Bob, it is perfect for working out in hot environments. One reviewer actually described the dual pouch system as weird at first because new things, well, they always seem a bit weird, but after a few seconds, they felt absolutely fantastic, more mobile, drama-free, and he forgot he had a frank. He forgot he had a beans. There was no sweat. There was just nothing but this feeling of freedom, and he wanted to walk out there and tell everybody about it. It changed his life. It really did. This might seem like an oversell. You might think I'm lying or even exaggerating, but these underwear will literally change your life.
Listen, they're beautiful underwear, incredible styles. They're always coming out with new styles, moisture wicking technology so you don't get sweaty, just really super comfortable and antimicrobial so your balls don't stink. You can't really ask for better underwear. They're really high quality. It's great for a birthday gift or a gift for somebody in your family.
What do you think I'm wearing right now?
Hanes.
I'm wearing Sheath underwear and I feel like I'm naked.
I know.
You know, I would stand up.
You forgot that you have franks and beans.
Listen, I haven't had a penis for some time. I'm sure fucking when I had my surgery the other day, they chopped my dick off. But listen, and also the owner is a huge fan of this show. So please support them and support us. Go to sheathunderwear.com for the most comfortable underwear you'll ever own. And they got some pretty cool designs as well. And use the code BELIEVE20 when you're at the website, sheathunderwear.com. BELIEVE20 will get you 20% off your order. That's sheathunderwear.com. Use the code BELIEVE20 for 20% off. Okay. Speaking of high-level athletes and high-level UFC commentators or people like that, or women in general and sports, let's go with that. Stephen A. Smith made some headlines this morning. Harrington, do you want to break down what he said or Brian give us a graphic or whatever? He had some words. I really like Stephen A. Smith. I've had a lot of great conversations with him. He's a very, very good guy. But he came out and said this today, and I kind of understand what he's saying. That's why I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to have his back, basically. But he's getting not a backlash, but some people took umbrage with what he said, Harrington.
Okay, so the actual quote is this. When I think about pugilistic sports, I don't like seeing women involved in that at all. He said on the Black on the Air podcast, I just don't like it. I wouldn't promote legislating laws to prohibit them from doing so, but I don't want to see women punching each other in the face. I don't want to see women fighting in the octagon and stuff like that, but that's just me. What I would adamantly be against is them fighting men. I don't think that's cool. Plus, you don't ever want to give men license to believe it's all right to get physical with a woman. To be quite honest with you, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's never, ever going to happen. But Lewis, what's your initial thoughts on what he said there?
All right, obviously, you know, nobody wants to see men fighting women. That's psychotic.
Yep.
So I agree with that. He wasn't saying anything that crazy. He's probably saying what a lot of people have on their minds. It took a little while. I mean, look, Dana White in recent memory said women will never fight in the UFC. It's not crazy. And I'm assuming there's a lot of, if you ask most 50, 60, 70 year old men, they probably would say, no, fighting is for men. It's not really, it's just sort of an old timey way of looking at things. You look at the quality of competitors that the UFC has brought up through a female mixed martial arts. And whereas, yes, it's still a beat or two behind the men, these are legitimately talented world-class athletes. And the fact that there's an opportunity for, you know, females to go and make a lot of money and become stars in this sport. The UFC has done it like nobody else. nobody gave a shit about the WNBA. Nobody gave a shit about female boxing. I hate to say it. It's just the reality. If you look at
it's
the numbers,
just the truth.
It's just the truth.
Female soccer, same thing. They wanted the same money as the men. And I hate to break it down. It's all about supply and demand. Simple as that. Harrington, can you see if there's a bring up an example of a quote where perhaps someone has been outraged and read it out in a second? But yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Lewis. I think it's a generational thing. You know, he's a generation older than us. And I feel, I mean, yeah, again, a good point as well. Dana White was against it when he first started. Of course, you know, Dana changed his mind. Ronda Rousey came in, became a huge star. And now, you know, there's so many, you know, the female divisions add a lot of value to the UFC. There's some tremendous fights, some tremendous fighters. They have excellent skill levels. I mean, Amanda Nunes and Shevchenko are as good as any man on the roster, you know. And I believe Amanda Nunes and Shevchenko could actually beat some of the men on the roster as well. In fact, just beat a lot of men in real life, simple as that. But I kind of get what he's saying at the same time. You know, I don't think he said anything bad. It's like, you know,
he said it's his opinion, which I thought he was good to be careful to say, hey, look, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to fight. I'm just saying I don't enjoy it personally. Look, I don't enjoy car racing. I don't enjoy golf, you know?
I mean, I do now, but when I first started seeing women fight, it was in Strikeforce. They were doing it a while before the UFC. And I used to, I think it was Misha Tate. I remember seeing one of her fights. I was going to train at a gym and I went in there and all the guys that lived there in the dorms, I went in waiting for them saying, come on, you lazy bastards, let's get on the mats. And they were watching these fights. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Women? Holy shit, you know? And yeah, it did used to feel weird because when it first came around, it was kind of alien. People weren't used to seeing that. You're not used to seeing women beat each other up with such skill and ferocity, you know, but they are great. They add a lot to it. So Harrington, was there any high profile fighters that came out, female fighters that came out and had an issue or nothing you can find?
Sorry, I was looking up the complete wrong thing. I was looking up what the deal was with that U.S. women's soccer thing, because I remember that being a whole, you know, a thing.
Did you just listen to words that were said and go off on your own little journey?
Kinda. You know, you guys speak a lot. There's a lot of research going on here at all times for me, so sorry about that.
Well, while you looked that up, I will say I remember the first time. I actually probably don't remember the fight. But I remember the first time a female headlined over a male in the UFC. And I remember thinking, like, I was like, that's weird. It just didn't sit right at first. And now it's a non-issue. If Amanda Nunes is fighting, I'm expecting her to be the headlining fight and to be the main event. So even in just the short amount of time that females have been fighting in the UFC, there's been an evolution mentally. And you can even take it further back because it was weird to watch men fight in a cage at first, how brutal it was. And back in the day, how bloody it was. You watch those early UFCs, it was like, whoa. And those guys were nowhere near as skilled or nowhere near as violent as what we see today. And we get desensitized to it, and your mind gets adapted to it.
Look at that. And Lewis knows. He knows he made a good point. He's adjusting his seat. He's putting it down. He's like, drop the fucking mic. Because that was a great point. You're right. It wasn't that. Let's remember, this sport started the first UFC in 1993. So it really is still 27 years old. It's not old at all. Of course, fighting went on way before that in different organizations. And martial arts have been around for thousands of years. But the UFC started in 93. And you're right. It was banned from everywhere. And this was men doing it. Women doing it was crazy. So a certain section of society back then did it. Like it. And of course, there's still people to this day and age that aren't comfortable with it. Some people say, oh no, like yesterday when I saw the eye doctor, she kept mentioning the fact it was a UFC fighter. And I kept saying, yeah, retired. She's like, I wouldn't advise taking any shots. I'm like, retired? Haven't done it in years. She goes, yeah, because you're a fighter, aren't you? I'm like, retired fighter? Jesus Christ. Woman, are you listening? Read the notes, okay? But yeah.
You take the man out of the cage. You can't take the cage out of the man.
You know, I'm like, listen, if I got to come out of retirement and fight you in a minute, I will. You know, I'm all for equal opportunity.
Well, yeah, Stephen A. Smith would not like to see that, sir.
No, he wouldn't like to see it, and neither would you, Lewis, because I reckon I would have pounded her into a fucking oblivion.
With ease.
Locked up.
With ease.
I'm just saying I can take my ophthalmologist.
What would be the odds? What would be the odds on that fight, you versus your ophthalmologist?
It depends. I was blind yesterday. I'm like, come here, you bitch. Where are you? You know,
come here, you bitch.
I apologize, ladies. I'm very, very sorry. All right. Here's a good one. UFC, whatever it is, 259 in March. We're gonna have fans back, Lewis, in Vegas.
Hold on, before we switch gears for a second, we never touched base on that one, and it just sort of relates to the female mixed martial arts thing, and I don't want to go back to it.
Go ahead.
Was it Megan Anderson?
Just got
mad at, who was it? Who was the guy? I don't want to misquote the guy. It was
Megan Anderson. It was Casey Kenney and Sean O'Malley. They were doing a podcast last week, and Sean O'Malley had a baby in his arms, and he was talking about how we wouldn't get addicted to heroin because I'm just not going to get addicted to heroin again. That caused a little bit of a controversy, but in relation to what you're talking about, then they brought up Megan Anderson and said, what do you think? You know,
would you bang
Casey Kenney said, well, it's 4 or 5 in the morning. You know, she's a 4 or 5 in the morning type girl, yada, yada, yada. I mean, no disrespect, Casey Kenney, you're not my type, but when I look at you, I don't really see top of the food chain stuff. You know what I mean? You're a great fighter, good fighter, but maybe she could say the same thing about you. You know, there you go. But there was a bit of a shit storm. A lot of people came out. They were very unhappy. Megan Anderson wasn't happy at all. She's fighting on the same fight card as well in a few weeks against Amanda Nunes. So that just like tied in perfectly. So there was a bit of controversy there, and rightly so. Rightly so. I mean, we talk about people's appearances and women's appearances, but we do it in a positive way. Now, of course, you shouldn't, you know, treat them as material objects, women I'm talking about. But, you know, we have a little bit of fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And, you know, we gave out award to the best looking. That's complimentary. I wouldn't go out there. We're not giving awards out to the least best looking. We're not saying, all right, who's the ugliest on the roster? I mean, that's just nasty.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and here's the thing. Couple things. Number one, Megan Anderson, she's pretty cute. She's not a bad looking chick. I'm looking at her pictures right now. But that's not even the issue. Look, we're all adults. I think Megan Anderson should have a little bit thicker of a skin. You're going to have people saying shitty stuff. It sucks. You know, I understand it. You know, it's a guy who it's a peer of yours. And he's making a comment about your appearance. But I will say men are under the very similar type of scrutiny, you know.
Listen. We had Joanne Calderwood coming on yesterday. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it today. We'll get her on soon, and I wanted her to chime into
right.
it. And Harrington just showed that picture there. Harrington last week, fucking hell, he wanted, what's her name? Macy Barber. Remember, he nominated her for the best looking. I was like, Macy Barber on. I'm like,
and he left Mackenzie Dern off the list.
Harrington's showing Megan Anderson there. Megan, pardon me, let's get the name right. Megan Anderson, you know. Oh, yes, Harrington.
To be fair, she's the co-main event of UFC 258 in 2 weeks. If there's ever a time to have her on.
I don't know her. I'm not going to have her on and have a discussion. So what do you think about this conversation? A conversation like that, what the subject matter that we're talking about, I don't want to bring on someone that's never been on the show that I don't have a rapport with and talk with. I know Joanne. I know some other people. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. If you want them to open up, you need to have a little bit of a pre-existing rapport, I would say.
I think that it's just you're famous. You're famous. You're also in a really grueling, tough sport. It's the toughest sport in the world. I just think it should be something that Megan Anderson should go like, fuck that guy. Simple as that. It shouldn't be her getting upset and saying like, oh, I guess this is the type of sport where your coworkers can, you know, disparage your looks. I just feel like men, you know, if there's a big, ugly motherfucker, we say it and it's not an issue. Nobody really loses any sleep. I made fun of your neck and your eye earlier in this show.
Yeah. And I'm going to cry myself to sleep later. You know, I put a brave face on it. You know, I laugh at it. I do. But later on, I'm going to go back and go, Rebecca, I was going to go out the house later. Now I don't feel like I can.
Once you put yourself out there, though, I feel like you're putting yourself out there for scrutiny. And it's just part of being famous. It's part of becoming, you know, being in the public spotlight.
Go ahead. Devil's advocate. Devil's avocado. You could say, listen, he should have a bit of their colleagues in the UFC. You know what I mean? And he should have, listen, I get it for Casey. He was just having a laugh with the guys. You know, and say you're sitting at the pub, you're having a beer, whatever. Maybe you can have those conversations. But if you're on a podcast, and I don't know what kind of viewership he has, but Sean O'Malley's in the spotlight. He's a well-known figure. You know, he could have chose his words better. He could have said, well, she's not really my type. I don't like short, tall girls. I'm barely 5 foot myself. So that would be a little bit silly. In fact, I don't even think it's possible. For Megan Anderson, it's water off a duck's back. But still, It does hurt. Women don't want to hear men saying those type of things.
Women are held to a different standard. You're right. And they walk around ever since they were little girls, sort of being judged on their looks. Whereas I think men are judged a little bit more on their abilities. I think, you know, if a chick is going to bang Casey Kenney, it's because he's a UFC fighter and he's a good fighter and sort of his looks are secondary. Whereas I don't think that women are sort of judged off of that, their merit first. It's judged off of their physical appearance first. So I get it's harder. I'm just saying it's just sort of like, it just wasn't, even his comment wasn't really that big of a deal. He was just sort of making a dumb joke.
Yeah, but on the flip side, again, Avocado, you know, for Megan Anderson, she's just trying to get ready for a fight. And now all of a sudden, people are debating her looks. There was a lot of discussion about it on Twitter. Some people agreeing, some people disagreeing, and all the rest of it. And for Megan Anderson, you know, that's not going to make her feel good. You know what I mean? She's trying to focus on fighting the greatest female fighter of all time. And that is without question. She's got a very, very tough task ahead of her. And now she's got all this bullshit. Listen, Casey, I'm sure he's a good guy. Didn't mean bad. But, you know, he's got to learn from that one. Harrington, you were going to say something.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're doing devil's advocate stuff here, I mean, a little devil's avocado. I mean, she's 3-2 in the UFC. She's getting a title fight against the Amanda Nunes. And one out of every three pictures she puts up on her Instagram is her in lingerie. I mean, yes. That has to have something to do with the fact that she has 500,000 followers.
Listen. What does... What does her record in the UFC have to do with the discussion? Nothing.
Well, I mean, my point that I'm making is I think that her looks are the reason she has 500,000 Instagram followers, more so
Maybe, but not every person that has a lot of followers isn't because, listen, I get it. Women, if they're pretty, do generally have more followers because men are pigs and they like to look at them. But still, you know, listen, you can't, you know, it was regrettable for Kenny. He came out and apologized, which was decent of him. At the end of the day, it's not a big deal. You know, it's kind of a water under the bridge for all of them, I'm sure. And I'm sure they'll laugh at it at some point. But hopefully, everybody learned their lesson, Lewis.
I think that's the best thing to take from it. But I'm looking at her. She's hot.
Casey Kenney isn't. I'm just going to throw it out there. I've never had a homosexual experience in my life. But if I did and I woke up off a serious night out and I woke up and it was Casey Kenney in bed with me, I'd be like, oh, fuck. Do me a favor, Casey. Don't tell anyone. You know what I mean?
I just can't listen to the plight of really hot title challenger Megan Anderson. She's her life rules. I can't relate, just because this short little fucking guy doesn't find her hot and he made a comment saying that he'd bang her at 4 a.m. I just can't really sink my teeth into how she could lose any. She's a very good girl who's fighting for a world title next week. So
Stephen A. Smith is not going to like it, but we put Megan Anderson at one side, blue corner. We put Casey Kenney, red corner. Harrington, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Who wins? Casey Kenney, Megan Anderson, go.
I mean, Megan Anderson fights at 145. Casey Kenney fights at 135. It's you know, just.
And he hasn't sniffed the title shot.
I mean, fighting old Dominic Cruz is as close as
Casey Kenney would pop Megan Anderson's head off her shoulders. What are we talking about?
Bro, in this day and age, what are you talking about, Lewis? All right, the support for the Believe You Me podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs, Lewis.
I'll tell you right now, it's pretty easy to understand. These are trimmers for your balls. If you've ever tried to bick your downstairs, to manscape yourself, to groom yourself, it's a dangerous job, okay? Somebody's got to do it. I'll tell you right now, when I was using a bick, or when I was even using hair clippers, I would nick myself. I would find myself grooming myself less and less often. With the Lawnmower 3.0, it's basically nick-free. It's nearly impossible to cut yourself. You could do it in the dark. They get an LED light. It's quiet stroke technology. You could do it so nobody has to know you're doing it.
Bro, look at this. One side of my neck I shaved with a Manscaped. The other side of my neck I shaved with a fucking regular razor. And look at that. All right, right? Don't look like me. Don't get your throat half slashed. Obviously, I'm being silly, but trust me. You know the feeling. You know, you're meeting up with your girlfriend or whoever it is, your significant other. You feel like you're going to get a little jiggy with it that night. And you want to look good. So you're like, okay, I'm going to freshen up. I'm going to shower. I'm going to trim my balls. And you get your little shaver out. And you're being very careful, very, very slow, very gentle around the curvation of the ball sack, but still it's wrinkly, it's crinkly, it doesn't conform with the movements of your hand. And what do you do? just a little 1 second. Oh, there you go. Cut. It hurts. It stings. It's going to bother you for a while. With Manscaped, that is a thing of the past. Even a moron like me can shave my balls without hurting myself. There you go. Yeah. And that is essentially what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's, we don't have to look. All the bells and whistles are great. You could do it in the shower. It's waterproof.
Ooh, it's got a light on it. All that other stuff. It's USB.
It's just, by the way, I use it probably twice a week. I've never charged it again. This battery, I don't know when the battery goes out because I've had it for over a year and I've never charged it beyond the one time that I've had to plug it in.
If you have regular sized balls, you will have to charge it on occasion. Lewis, the small balls, that's fine. And also, I will mention this, their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Cutting edge. See what I they like did it. There? Thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. Okay, you get the idea. We've told you enough. Go to manscaped.com. Listen, men out there, you're going to need to shave your balls. Why not do it without giving yourself a personal injury? Okay, go to manscaped.com. Use the code BISPING at checkout. You will get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. The code is BISPING. You get 20% off. You got clean balls. You haven't hurt yourself. And yeah, all right. M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D. That is Manscaped.com. That's the website. And the code is B-I-S-P-I-N-G. But you knew that already. You knew how to spell BISPING. That's going to get you 20% off. Okay, let's get back into it. We got a lot to get to. We got a lot of things to talk about. But first, we talked about it earlier. Gilbert Burns did join us earlier. We're going to place that in right now. Gilbert Burns, what are we saying?
What's up, bro? I'm doing good, bro. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. First of all, sorry about yesterday. Health scare there, but everything's good. Everything's good. But enough about me. First of all, welcome to the show with myself and Luis J. Gomez. How you doing, man? Big, big title fight coming up. Talk to us. Tell us how you're feeling.
I feel good, excited, you know, almost time. I have the little thoughts that come and go like, man, I wish I'm fighting right now. You know, I don't want to train anymore. But then I talk to myself, I still can get sharper, little things, you know, keep going to the gym, weight's good. And cannot wait, you know, cannot wait. February 13th, if it was for me, it could be tomorrow, you know, I'm feeling good.
Well, it's not far away, is it really? Just around the corner. But this fight has been on the cards for a long time now. So I don't know how you're feeling mentally. I mean, I'm not sure what the exact specifics of it were, but was there actually a date set already in the past, but it got canceled?
It was never settled, but they were working on November, then December, then January, then eventually February. But I put a lot of goals in between, you know, try to get, okay, this month, let's do a lot of wrestling. Next month, okay, this month, we don't have no day yet. No, let's do a lot of boxing. So that's how I did that, like, control my anxiety and a lot of things because another thing that I do to control that, I do a lot of grappling mats in between just to stay busy, stay competing. But the UFC didn't allow me to do that this time. Say, no, that fight already got canceled. We don't want to have no risks or you might get injuries so you cannot grapple. So that's why I work more on a lot of base, you know, a lot of fundamentals, make sure when I go to a camp, I'm already involved a lot. That's what is most what I did.
Was there ever a danger? Because obviously, you know, as you mentioned, the fight has been on the cards for a long time. Were your coaches ever concerned that you were going to peak too soon, that you were going to overtrain, basically just train too much? I mean, this fight has the ability to change your life. So it's a big deal. And it's only natural that you're going to train hard. Was that ever a discussion that you had with your coaches?
I had, because as soon as they said, I want to go crazy in the beginning, you know. People know how I train. I like to get after, and I like to outwork people. You know, a couple guys they have a fight schedule. I want to make sure I'm working more than these guys. And we had that conversation. That's why we kind of play a little bit. Okay, this month do a lot of wrestling, and that's how I kind of was able to control that. And but yeah, it was hard. I always want to try to get after, get trained. You know, working my butt off and make sure I'm ready. But we have a little concerns with my strength conditioning, with my coach, but everything went well, you know.
What is it that you see in Kamaru that makes you think that he's beatable?
I think everybody's beatable. And the way I see Kamaru is not about Kamaru, it's about me more. Because I do believe I have ability to finish anyone in that division. I think I got the knockout power and I got the jiu-jitsu. And it's both is both of their weapons are high levels. You know, I can submit these guys with my back on the floor. If I get on top, even worse. I do have the power to finish the fight. And it's not even about Kamaru, it's about me. I do believe I'm the best welterweight in the world, and he's just about to prove that.
Well, obviously, coming into this one, you guys have been longtime training partners. So that makes the dynamic very, very different. And just as competitors, it doesn't matter if you were friends or whatever. He has what you want. So I get that. But you guys know each other very well. So generally, when you guys used to train, I mean, how did it go? I'm assuming you're going to say some days he got the better, some days you got the better. Yeah. But you know this guy inside out. And I don't expect you to give us too much. But, you know, where do you think you can win this fight?
I think he can finish Kamaru. I do believe in the good thing, like, for sure he knows a lot about my game too, but the good thing is he left, you know, and then a lot of training partners, they know him very well. And lately I wasn't training with him very much. I was busy getting my fight. He gave me a round here and there. And last year or so, we didn't train that much together, you know. And then when we trained, he was being Woodley for me one time, and the other time that we trained, he was being Damian Maia for me. The time before I was being Colby Covington to him and give a couple rounds to him. So, but I was never me, and he was never him for a while. We didn't train like that. But on the other hand, I have a lot of teammates that been helping him out, that are helping me out right now. And I think that's a huge difference, you know, when you train with a guy that say, oh, here he doesn't, he's okay here, or here he's better, got to watch out here. So that was my whole training camp. All my teammates helped me so much, and I think that will be the difference. But I do believe I can finish Kamaru with my hands or with my jiu-jitsu, and that's what I believe is going to happen February 13th.
Well, listen, you've certainly shown that you can finish people with your hands or jiu-jitsu. A lot of the time when there's somebody like yourself, I mean, of course, you have hands. You're not a jiu-jitsu guy, but you have a very rich jiu-jitsu pedigree. He has a very rich jiu-jitsu pedigree. You know what I'm going to say? A lot of the time when two guys like that fight each other, it ends up being a stand-up war. Is that what you're expecting coming into this, or are you looking to take him down?
For sure, I'm looking to take him down. Not only Kamaru, everyone that I face, they got to watch out with the takedown, because I'm going to look for a takedown. And that's it. It's a powerful weapon that I have is my jiu-jitsu. So why not take him down? And if he does, let's say worst case scenario, he defend there and then we scramble and then we're going to grapple anyway. So for sure, I'm going to look for a takedown. Not only Kamaru, okay, but anyone.
Of course, of course. And that was a stupid question by me. Allow me to ask it a different way. Do you think Kamaru is going to take you down? Because obviously, if he takes you down, he's coming into your world.
I hope so. I hope he does.
Of course.
And I might force him to do that with those presents right here. And then, I don't know, we'll see. But I do believe it's not going to be only one-way fight. It's not going to be only strike. It's not going to be only on the cage. It's not going to be only grappling. It's going to be a war, and I'm looking forward to that. I think we're going to grapple. We're going to strike. We're going to go to the cage. We're going to wrestle. It's going to be – I'm looking forward to a freaking dirty, crazy pace fight, you know?
Now, I'm looking at your record, and you're used to fighting a lot. This is the first time that – you haven't fought three times within a year since 2017, almost eight months off. How are you adapting to that? Do you look at it as a good thing to have this time off, or is it a bad thing?
My coach saw it as a good thing, especially my strength conditioning coach at IHP. Those guys, they put me through a hard work, and I'm so happy that we could relax your body a little bit, because I got short notice. So I got first fight at 170 was in 2 weeks. Boom, I fought. Not even a 2 months gap, I got another short notice and then fought again. And then on that space, after that fight, I was grappling. I grappled a lot. I did a lot of grappling fights. Then I got a big fight against Damian Maia. That was the only full training camp that I had. After that fight, we started a conversation about Tyron Woodley fight. So I was back in the training. So then I finally got the COVID. If I got canceled, I was able to I was even able, I was forced to relax, you know, because I got a COVID. Then I got a quarantine in my room and I want to spread to my family. So I was in my room for like 14 days to complete that. And as soon as I start testing negative again, then I was slowly back at the gym. But I took a little while. I took that as a kind of rest recovery, and then it was great for my body, great for my brain. And then after a couple weeks prior to the COVID, I got back training, and then I felt great. I felt, to be honest, I felt horrible in the beginning. I had no cardio coming back from COVID, but after a little bit, I felt better. You know, that was good for my body. I always, Bisping knows, I have always small little injuries, a little bit on my elbow, a little bit on my knee, a little bit. I don't have major injury, but I have a lot of small little injuries that this little time off was good to recover those injuries.
Did COVID really hit you hard? Were you really sick?
It hit me for, let's say, for a week. I felt very bad. I have a freaking so strong headache. The headache was the worst. And I have a fever with a lot of chills for like 2 or 3 days. And I couldn't smell nothing. That's the worst, because my wife, the fire was off. You know, I was on my room locked. She was cooking a couple foods that looked so good, but I couldn't taste, you know. I was just kind of imagining the taste. I eat anyways, but that was it. And then when I was back in training, yeah, my cardio felt horrible. Felt that was, I don't know, that was a long time without training. It took me, let's say, 3 weeks to get back to my normal routine, like training twice a day. Because in the beginning, I live in a room that two stairs, just going up on the stairs, I was just feeling very tired. That crazy.
Wow. You know, Lewis is actually hoping to get COVID so that he doesn't have to smell Harrington. That's one of our producers, because he is kind of a smelly guy. He doesn't shower very often. Obviously now, Kamaru's training at a different team. So in the past, Henry Hooft, your head coach, and he was Kamaru's head coach, he was going to step back. He was going to stay out of it. But now with Kamaru leaving, I'm assuming he's very much involved. And that has got to be a very powerful tool to have your head coach, somebody that used to train the guy that you're going to fight for the belt. I mean, talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, Henry's not going to the fight, but he still respects a lot of Kamaru. They still have feelings, so I'm okay with that. But he's for sure, he's been helping me in the training. And not only Henry Hoof, but Greg Jones is my wrestling coach. It was his wrestling coach. Kami Barzini and like I said, all my teammates. So I have an amazing support for and everyone for Sinfor MMA. They got my back. They helped me so much, giving me a lot of tips. Hey, watch out with this. Yeah, this one's gonna work on him. Keep doing that. And I cannot be more grateful for my team. But yeah, amazing support for every single one.
I mean, soon you have the ability to be the champion of the world, right? In the best combat sports organization that ever existed, right? This ain't no Mickey Mouse bullshit. If you're the UFC champ, you're the baddest motherfucker alive. There's a pretty bad looking motherfucker as well. Look at that dog. Jesus, hell.
Look at his big head.
You're a married man, right, Gilbert?
Yes.
I mean, have you allowed yourself to be lying in bed at night with your wife and you're like, man, you know? This time in 6 weeks, I could be champion of the world. And, you know, have you allowed yourself to go there? Because it's fun to dream. It's fun to sit there and think about when you're going to win the lottery. But now this is a real thing and you have a real ability to win this fight. I mean, of course, people say, oh, I'm not looking past Kamaru, and you shouldn't look past Kamaru. But have you allowed yourself to just, you know, fantasize that kind of life that being the world champion will bring?
For sure. I think that
that's
all
the fun
time.
Part.
That's not a motivation that I have to make sure I work hard to have all the benefits that you will have as a champion. And I for sure I dream that, I believe with that. Yeah, I gotta get a vacation with my family, a good one, blah blah blah. But I still got work to do, you know. And every time that I got myself dreaming so much, I say, okay, we still got work to do. And the way I see, I have a war to go, you know. I gotta win that war first, and then the rewards will come after. But I do believe I can win, and I always believe that. Like, people, you think you're going to win? What do you think? I say, bro, every time that I go to a fight and even before to a tournament, I always remember that saying that my daddy was saying. Like, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense in English, might be, but He always say, if you always have the ability to fight, you got to believe they have the ability to win. If you can't fight, for sure you can't win. I always have that in the back of my head. If I'm going to come, I don't care against who. If I'm facing anyone that division, I have the ability to win. I do believe that. And for sure I dream, but I don't dream too much. You know, I gotta kind of remind myself a little bit, come back. I still got work to do, you know, even 5 weeks coming quick, but I still got a lot of work to do. I want to be sharp. I want to make sure when I step on the octagon, all the thing that I have in the back of my head, I got to make sure I did everything I could in order to get prepared to win that fight. And that's exactly what I'm doing, you know. Go there.
So Usman, earlier this week, you talked about fighting Masvidal after you. It's almost a two-part question. Number one, does it annoy you that he seems to be looking past you? And number two, do you sort of believe in that? Because, you know, you yourself have, you've called out the rest of the top five in the division. So sort of setting different goals outside of this fight is something that's obviously on your mind as well. So yeah, two-part question. Number one, does it piss you off? Number two, do you really believe that, you know, you can't look past an opponent?
That doesn't bother me. Kamaru can say whatever he wants. Now we're going to fight anyway. He can see he don't like me. He can say whatever he wants. It doesn't bother me. And I think he can fight Masvidal again. He can fight anyone again. I don't think that he's looking past me. He knows. We train so much. He knows I'm coming. He knows. And another thing that I kind of watched his, one of his interviews, and then I saw he was saying about Masvidal and, you know, the preparation changed. You know, a lot of things happened, but the thing is I'm not Masvidal. You know, if he does get tired the way he did, if you watch, and I'm not saying, just watch the fight again, you're going to see how tired he went after the first round. He was hanging on the cage, you know. Bro, I just hope he doesn't get tired on the first round, because I got that cardio too. I got that strength too. I just want to show everybody. So please don't get that tired. Let's work hard. And he knows me. He knows. I know for a fact he's not looking past me. I know that. And he knows we train so much. He knows I got a freaking dog inside of me. And then I can't fight and I can't go through and I can't dig deep as he can. And February 13, I cannot wait. He's gonna be a good one, you know. And I'm looking forward to this fight.
And, you know, I'm looking at the odds right now. You're coming in as a slight underdog at plus 195. You love it?
I love it. I love it to be the underdog. I love it. I love it. I love – it's not even proving people wrong. It's proving me, you know. It's proving to myself that I'm the best. And that's it. I just like it. Just a little extra, you know. And then a lot of friends, I'm putting money – I know, because a lot of guys, I'm putting money in. I don't even know. Just do your thing. But – I love to people. I'm right. I love to people to prove people wrong, and it's gonna be one more. And I'm super excited. And I like to be the underdog. I was always the underdog. Why not one more time? I like it.
Well, it's a little less pressure, isn't it, when you're the underdog? When everyone's expecting you to lose, you just got to come in and upset everybody. Of course, Kamaru is confident. You know, he believes he's going to win. That's why he's talking about Masvidal or whoever, Covington, whatever. Assuming you go out there and win, because I'm sure that's your plan. Who's first? Who would you like to, in a perfect world, defend your belt against first?
If I could pick, if Dana came at me and say, you pick, I would say Colby Covington for sure.
Hey, bro, things change when you're the champ. You get a say. Yeah. Right now, you don't get a say. Right now, you got to fight along. You do as you're told and all the rest of it. When you get the belt, of course, it's still their company. Say, but you get a say now.
If they let me say, for sure, say Colby Covington. But and to be honest, Bisping, I want to fight every one of these guys. I want to fight every single one. And I do believe I'm peaking right now. I'm 34 years old. I don't believe I'm going to pass doing that past 40. I might be able to, but I don't think I will. So the way I see it, got 4 or 5 good years on me, and I just want to fight the best. And then when I saw those top 10 guys, I want to fight every single one of these guys. I want to fight. If I can pick, I would say Colby Covington, then Masvidal, then Leon Edwards, then Khamzat Chimaev, then Wonder Boy. I want to fight everybody. It's like, just those guys think, oh, this guy doesn't defend the belt too much. This guy, no, I'm going to even if you were contending on that division, you should be on my side. You should be cheering for me because I want to defend that belt as quick as I can against everybody. And as I win that belt, no one's safe. No one's safe. I'm going to call these guys out. That's the thing.
Well, that's what Dana White likes to hear. Somebody that wants to fight all the time. And you're lucky because some of the names you just mentioned, you do have some big stars, some controversial figures that you can fight and generate and make a lot of money. You know, that's what's going to happen now. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, may the best man win. But if you win this fight, then it all changes, you know. So we don't want to take too much more of your time, but we're just going to ask you a few questions. We don't know where this is going to go. Just going to throw a few rapid fire questions at you. Then we'll let you get back to it. I'll start with this. Who's strong? You or Kamaru?
Kamaru was very strong for a while, but as soon as I come up to 170, I think we're both very strong. I'm not going to give... If that fight was in
rapid
July...
Rapid answers!
If that fight was in July, I would say Kamaru. But right now, I'll be very strong right there.
Interesting.
Who's better looking, you or Kamaru?
Man, look at my forehead. Come on. That's me. Look, that guy has a huge forehead. Come on.
I shouldn't say this, but who's got the bigger dick?
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Come on, you were in the locker room with him. You know.
Come on, bro. You know.
Come on. I don't know, bro. I'm not looking at these guys.
All right. Who's got better jiu-jitsu?
Come on, bro. That's exactly. Bernie right here. He got the best wrestling for sure.
Lewis,
who can dance better?
He can dance better. He dance. He can.
I like
dance.
That. You're very humble, Gilbert.
Yeah. although he was a little ambiguous on the penis thing. Yeah. He was like, I don't know, bro. But I'm just saying, I'm packing heat down there. What's the first thing you buy as champion of the world?
I don't know. That is a good question. I don't know. I'm very good on saving money right now. I might buy something very cheap. I don't know.
Yeah.
If there's one person in the UFC, any weight class that you would not want to fight, who would it be?
That I not want to fight? Dude, freaking Francis Ngannou.
I was gonna say Ngannou. It's a no-brainer.
Hell no. Why fighting this guy? They say if they give you $10 million, you'll fight this guy. I say no. Why? To never use my brain again? Why? No,
I'm not exactly. He's literally the worst person ever. All right, dude. Listen, I appreciate it. For those that don't know, Gilbert was gonna come on yesterday, and then we couldn't do the show. So you were very, very flexible. We appreciate that, Gilbert. You're a good man. All the best for the title fight. You know, we really are behind you. Wishing for the best. May the best man win, of course. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure always be on the show, and see you guys soon after the win.
Good luck, brother.
Man, Gilbert. Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy. Really do. Guys. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, bud. Have a good one.
YouTube.
There he is, Gilbert Burns.
Hard to not root for Gilbert Burns. Such a nice guy.
Such a likable guy. Really is. I mean, and as I said yesterday, you know, he was trying to get it earlier because he's got training. So I was like, fuck, I didn't want to ask again today because we dicked him around yesterday. He's like, yeah, of course, whatever you need. Super fucking chill. A lot of people, when they've got a big fight and it's getting closer, the nerves, the anxiety starts kicking. And but yeah, not with this guy. Class act all the way. And once again, thank you, Gilbert Burns. Best of luck against that fight. Tough fight. But it's a tough fight for both men. But as it gets closer, we'll break it down. All right, there are some big fights going on this weekend. And don't forget the Super Bowl this Sunday. And if you're looking to get in on the action, head over to betdsi.com. At betdsi.com, you can bet on NFL, UFC, PGA, NBA, NHL, MLB, MMA. They have got everything covered, including live sports wagering. That is right. Even the games that have already started, you can still get in on the action. And BetDSI has a fast and easy to use mobile interface. And when you win, payouts are fast so that money is in your pocket. Quickly, Lewis.
I'll tell you right now, we know that mixed martial arts is the most exciting sport in the world. We know you're going to have an incredible time watching the Super Bowl this Sunday. Why not throw a little cash down? Okay, this weekend we got Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov. Alistair Overeem coming in at a +164 underdog. I'm going to tell you right now, I never bet against Alistair Overeem. That man, any given Sunday, can win. He is a fucking beast. I'm going to tell you right now.
That's insane. Remortgage your house right now. Okay. Go to betdsi.com. Use the promo code that we have. What is the promo code, Lewis? The promo code is something sexy, I'm sure.
BYM21.
I mean, that's a sexy promo code. Go to betdsi.com, use the promo code BYM21. What does that promo code get them, Lewis?
That's actually going to give you $123 free for every $100 you deposit. So if you put $100 down, you're actually playing with $223. Put down $500, you're actually playing with $1,115.
And so on and so forth. So use that promo code, remortgage your house, and bet the bank, bet the house, bet everything you have on Alistair Overeem, okay? If you can guess, I think he's going to win, and he's the underdog. So you're going to win a lot of money. Go to betdsi.com. Use that promo code BYM21. Get in on the action. Win some money. Have some fun.
And make sure when you use that promo code, you should know that there is a rollover requirement, meaning that any bonus money that you play with, you have to gamble a certain amount of times before you can take it out. But do it. I'll tell you right now, it's free money. It's a lot of fun to gamble. Go to betdsi.com. Make sure you use that promo code BYM21. Get $123 for every $100 you put down. And yeah, have some fun this weekend. All right, where were we?
Lots to talk about. As I said, fans are coming back to the arena at UFC 259 in March. And then this is an interesting story. The Korean Zombie says that he got extremely depressed after his loss to Brian Ortega and went on a binge eating spree, ballooning up over 40 pounds. And do we have a picture or anything to go with to look at this, Harrington? Because I see a link in the notes.
40 pounds.
No, it's just the story talking about him. The only thing I have here is him in the South China Morning Post just giving an interview about it. But he said the thought that my career crashed down brought me down to rock bottom, and then he just talked about eating a ton there. I don't have any pictures in the story though about, you know, his weight gain.
Yeah, but when you say 40 pounds, that's probably 40 pounds over what he weighs in at, one would assume, right? Because if he weighs in at, he's 145, so he's talking 185. You know, that's not too bad generally, because a lot of guys get a lot higher. When I was fighting, I did the same thing, you know, not just because I got lost, you know, because I got beat, because I lost a fight. I'd always allow myself to balloon up. It's one of my biggest regrets as a professional fighter. You know, I exercised zero discipline almost in between training camps, and I didn't train because the gym was so far away. Excuse me. Wow. What's the, as I'm talking about being fat, burp. Lewis, what is the fattest you've ever been?
Like 330.
Mm.
I've been like over 100 more pounds than I am right now. Yeah. And I'll tell you, this is what happens. Like, now that I have the shoulder injury, I'm just eating bad. Whatever, it gives me the excuse. I get depressed. I'm like, it just fucking hurts. I wake up in the morning, my shoulder hurts. So I just, it's one thing leads to another. I'm not exercising as hard. I'm not training as hard. And then I just, you know, I went shopping. We were having a snowstorm for the past 2 days. So we went to the supermarket right before, and I just bought all crap. Just not a single, there's no good options. I just bought bread. I brought fucking pasta, macaroni and cheese, potatoes, all the things that I'm not supposed to eat. So for the past 2 days, I've just been hammering food.
That's what I used to do as well. Obviously, when I was still living in England, I dieted down to 185 pounds. The team I was with at the time, they didn't know the first thing about cutting weight or nutrition or anything like that. So I do it all by myself. And as I said, I dieted down to almost 185. So I was extremely skinny. And to do that, you know, it's very hard. So I used to fantasize afterwards, after I've weighed in and after the fight, what am I going to eat? And living in the northwest of England, beautiful place, love it, miss it dearly. The food is not the healthiest, you know what I mean? So I'd go for a walk. It was always sandwiches. It was always sausage rolls, Cornish pasties. You know what a Cornish pasty is, Lewis?
No, I don't. Well, is Cornish hen? Is it like a Cornish hen?
I don't know what a Cornish hen is. Are you referring to the bird?
The little tiny bird, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not a hen. You eat this thing, although you...
You eat a Cornish hen as well.
Well, you could, but you wouldn't just say, can I get a Cornish hen, please, and just start eating it? You'd have to prepare it, maybe remove the innards. No, Cornish pasty, it's just meat in pastry, basically. Comes from Cornwall. There it is.
I'll take a Jamaica beef patty, man.
Right about now, give me a Jamaica beef patty, man. Yeah, and then we have those, and then it was fish and chips and pizzas. My diet was fucking terrible. I remember when I did Ultimate Fighter 14 against Jason Miller, I was fat, man, because for 8 weeks in Vegas, that's all we did. Me and my team, you know, the assistant coaches that I had, that was it. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner out at restaurants, drinking every night, still training during the day, but still, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. And I remember I took my shirt off one day because I wanted to weigh in, because I wouldn't take my shirt off. Even when they did the picture that the team pictures, they wanted like the coaches with the shirts off and shit. I'm like, no way. I am not in fight shape. I am not doing that. Never in a million years. And then one time I thought there was no cameras around and I whipped my shirt off and my shorts and I jump on the scale. They came out like vultures. The cameraman came running over trying to get, I'm like, fuck off. No way. Threw the shirt back on, you bastards. That is not going out there. But good for the Korean zombie. He's enjoying himself.
Well, you know, or he's, you know, downward spiraling into a depression and killing himself with food. But, you know, either way.
It was a pretty bad loss. You know, you can't blame him. At the end of the day, you go out there and there's so much at stake in these fights. If Chan Sung Jung had beaten Brian Ortega, who knows?
He'd be fighting for a title.
He'd be fighting for a
title. Yeah, Ortega's fighting for the title, right?
Ortega is fighting for the title. So you know what I mean? There's the thrill and the agony. That's what they talk about all the time. And there it is. Ortega's fighting for the belt. Chan Sung Jung is down in Korea. I'm going to say this. I reckon Chan Sung Jung's having a better time than Brian Ortega. Ortega's in camp. He's dieting. I've never been to Korea, but I reckon it's a good time.
I bet you that the food sucks cock. I don't know if I've ever had Korean food, but I bet it's weird, like, you know, fucking pickled grasshoppers and you know, weird shit, dude. Every time you go to those Asian countries, they have some crazy shit.
Very westernized country, though, South Korea, apparently. Again, never been. Landed at an airport. Go on, what?
I was going to say, Harrington, while Bisping's talking about his experience in Korea, why don't you pull up Korean barbecue is delicious. You're right,
yeah,
Brian.
Korean barbecue.
I love Korean barbecue. I am stupid.
I know so much about Korean foods, okay? I'll be honest, I'm not that fussed on Korean barbecue. You know why? No, it's good, but you know what I don't like about it?
What don't you like?
I go to a fucking restaurant, I want them to cook it for me. Do you know what I mean? Don't give me the groceries and make me cook it myself. Well, for the English people... For the English, Korean barbecue, you go there, you sit at the table, and in the middle, they have like a little stove, if you will, and they bring the meats, and you gotta cook it yourself. I'm like, fuck that. I went the first time. I was like, oh, I hear it's great. I'm like, I've got to cook it. Fuck that. Why am I paying all this money? And I'm not tipping. Well, I did tip, but you see what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck? I gotta sit here. I gotta cook it myself, but still tip them as if a chef did it. No.
It's part of the fun. It's part of the fun with Korean barbecue is cooking it yourself. But most places you can just get the meals already prepared, you know?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can get it already done. But that's fun, especially on a date. You take a chick, you know, you get a bunch of different meats, vegetables, you throw them on. It's actually a nice, healthy, it's healthier usually than most other Asian foods, tons of sauce, tons of rice, tons of carbs, breading, Korean barbecue.
MSG,
which I hate.
Monosodium glutamate. I don't like Chinese food either. Unless you're going to throw it out there. There's a big thing about Chinese food does absolutely nothing for me. That's like Korean barbecue.
You live in California where the Chinese food just isn't great. And you got to come to New York where it's just fucking Chinese replaced.
We have good Chinese food. The whole state of California. The whole state of California. You got to come to England.
People in the comments were trashing you, by the way. They were like, Bisping doesn't know what a fucking good sandwich is. He's retarded.
Oh, really? Really? No. They all said prosciutto, motherfucker. Prosciutto. So don't bring up no comments to me, baby boy. Okay? Take the L. Take the L. Everyone was like, what is Lewis talking about? I live in New York. I'm Italian. It's prosciutto. It's prosciutto. Just because some mentally challenged person one day, prosciutto. He had a fucking take, right? He couldn't talk properly. Prosciutto. And he's like, oh, it's prosciutto. You're walking around calling it prosciutto. Get a grip, bro. Anyway, back to the notes. How about this? Dustin Poirier, lightweight pitcher. He wants to fight Nate Diaz. How do we feel about this?
Look,
is that correct? Because I'm reading this of Harrington's notes. Harrington, do you want to just give some color, some chime in, some reference?
Yeah, I mean, Dustin Poirier was the first one to admit. He said, it doesn't make any sense for me necessarily. Doesn't make sense for the lightweight division. Doesn't make sense for the title picture. But hey, it's an entertaining fight. We're in the fight business. That's the business of entertaining fans. And that's the most entertaining fight that you can book right now. So he wants Nate Diaz next.
I love it. I love it. He doesn't have the title. It's not like Nate Diaz is getting a title shot. I know he's sort of the unofficial crowned king of the lightweight division right now with Khabib dipping out, but that has not officially happened yet. And while they're waiting for that to happen, while we're waiting for all of the T's to be crossed and the I's to be dotted, guess what? Put fucking Poirier in the highest, you know, the highest quality, most exciting fights possible. It's a really winnable fight for Poirier with Nate being off for as long as he's been off. Really, really winnable fight. All eyes, main event fight without having to have a title involved. Why not? It's only going to add to his stock, only going to add to his star power.
I'll say why.
Go ahead.
I'll say why. Please. I'll say why. Because as of right now, there is no lightweight champion. It hasn't been crowned. And he is carrying himself as the unofficial champion, which he should. I agree with that. He kind of is. And I think the general consensus believes with that. But if he fights Nate Diaz, there's no way they're going to make that for a title. So that means that the title is still floating about. And they've got to crown a champion. So who knows? Let's say they don't book that fight for 3 months for Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier. 3 months, 2 months, whatever. And then they have the fight. Let's say he gets injured. You know, let's say he wins the fight, but picks up an injury in there. Happens all the time. You know, then he might forego the possibility of becoming the champion. You know, there's a lot of big fights out there. Of course, Conor probably wants that Nate Diaz trilogy fight as well. And I would say, not that I'm, you know, this is just my opinion. I would assume the UFC would prefer that over Dustin and Diaz, because, you know, they've had those two fights, the trilogy, you know, and the first two fights were great, you know, so there's that. I understand Dustin saying that. Of course I do. Justin Gaethje had some interesting comments this week. He said, if they do Dustin versus Poirier, Dustin versus McGregor, pardon me. If they do a rematch again for the title, he said, I'm never going to fight in the UFC again. He said, that's it, I'm quit. Am I getting that right, Harrington? Did you see that? I read it yesterday. I was reading it. I'm just remembering.
He said if they do Dustin versus Nate for the title.
He said, no, if they do Dustin versus Conor again, but for the title. Basically saying if they give Conor McGregor a title shot after just being beat off Dustin, he said, I'm not going to fight again. I understand he'd be pissed, but I don't think he'd actually stick to that.
He's going to take his ball and go home. Okay, come on, relax. Who the fuck are you spiting there, Gaethje? I mean, and I love Gaethje. Gaethje's awesome, but let's get real. I mean, you're only hurting yourself there. That's a very silly statement.
What is the expression? What is the expression, Lewis?
What
would he be doing? What part of his body would he be cutting off?
Cutting off his nose to spite his face.
There you go. Boom. Perfect.
There we go.
Say penis or something.
Cutting off his dick to spite his butt. Listen.
Spite my throat.
He, despite Bisping's throat, cutting off his tits.
I'm like, come on, Gaethje, just stick it in there. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, look, I who did Gaethje last fight? It was for the title against Khabib. Was that his last fight?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you almost forget that Gaethje's sitting there, and you forget that he sort of has a rightful place in the title picture because he's the last guy to fight for the title. And if Khabib dips out, you know, where does that put Gaethje? But you have Charles Oliveira, you have Michael Chandler now, who just came in and had the most impressive UFC debut that we've seen in recent memory. There's a lot of people at lightweight that have a claim to this. And I mean, you have to sort of do some sort of, not an official tournament, but you need to sort of have a title eliminator scenario, because if you're Charles Oliveira, you're saying, I'm the fucking guy. If you're Chandler, you're saying, look what I just did. You know, Dustin Poirier just had an incredible performance against Conor. And look, it's not that crazy. We've seen the UFC give Chael Sonnen a title shot coming off of two losses at a weight division that he hadn't competed in, even in the UFC. I think it was WEC the last time he had competed in 205. So it's not that crazy that they'd give Conor a title shot. It's not that crazy that they'd give Nate Diaz a title shot. This is not great. They're massive stars. And to be honest with you, I think Poirier beats both of them if he fought either one of them again. So
he did already beat Gaethje, remember? He finished him. I think it was in the fourth round. Here's the actual quote from Gaethje. Harrington sent it through. If he fights for a title, I will never fight in the UFC again. That would be preposterous. Good word use of word there. For one, he's sitting at number six. He's won one fight in his entire life in the lightweight division, and he picks and chooses who he fights. So I have no respect for him in this matter. I mean, and you can't argue with what he's saying there. If you're just Gaethje, everybody wants to be the champ, and they're all right there. They're all right there. There's no champion now, even though uncrowned, everyone would say Dustin Poirier. Michael Chandler obviously wants to fight Poirier. Dustin doesn't seem too interested in that. I don't blame him, you know. Charles Oliveira is the outright contender, in my opinion. Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier, in my opinion, is the fight they should make. Harrington.
Well, there was another fight that Chandler was willing to accept this week, actually, against another top-ranked lightweight. That was, turns out, Charles Oliveira. His coach came out and said they were looking to book it as the, I guess, the co-main event of UFC 258, which would have taken my girl Macy's place next week. His coach came out and said, look, it's February 1st now. There's no way I'm going to get him prepared for a title eliminator in just 12 days. So that's the reason that they didn't end up accepting that. But it does tell me, at least, that Chandler is willing to take a fight other than Dustin Poirier.
Hey, listen, fair play to Michael Chandler. He's trying to do everything he can. And I saw an interview he did with Ariel Helwani. He said that he was kind of offered that fight. I don't think he said the name, but he said he was offered a fight late minute, UFC 258. He said he flew down because he lives in, I forget where he lives. He lives not in Florida, but he flew down to Florida. I think he said he was eating a big, massive steak. He didn't take one bite, heard about it, flew down to Florida to start training, and then found out when he got there that the fight was off the table once more. So listen, full respect to Michael Chandler. He's trying to do everything he can. He's trying to, you know, take short notice fights, trying to do everything he can to insert himself into a title fight. And that's great. And it's very commendable. However, I just feel the body of work, Charles Oliveira, but we talked about this last week, you know, so we won't spend too much time on it. Where do you want to
just on. before you dip off of it, I just think, and I agree with you, Oliveira versus Poirier for the title. That should be the fight. Both those guys have done everything that they need to do to prove themselves. I think Diaz versus Conor 3, they should make that. And then Chandler versus Gaethje. And then you sort of see who comes out more impressive, Conor or Nate or Chandler or Gaethje for the next clear-cut competitor.
Yeah, think about this. If you're trying to give credibility, because, you know, if I'm running the UFC, if it's my company, of course.
And you are.
It's not public knowledge, but come on, you know, Dana's getting old. He's going to step down soon. No, listen, if it was my company, right, you understand why they want to push Conor. Conor does big numbers, simple as that. And nobody comes close. He's done the top five UFC pay-per-views, you know, in the history of the UFC. You know, his numbers are through the fucking roof. But him fighting Dustin, in my opinion, for the belt after just getting knocked out of the same guy wouldn't sell. So what do? You do Dustin versus Charles Oliveira, right? For the undisputed belt. In the meantime, you do Conor versus Nate Diaz 3. Again, that's going to do gangbusters numbers, right? Everyone's going to make a ton of money. And Conor McGregor wins that fight. You know, no disrespect to Nate Diaz, but I think he wins that fight. And then guess what? Conor's coming off a win. He's just had a high-profile fight. Then he fights the winner of Dustin and Charles, probably Dustin. And then you've got Conor versus Dustin for the rematch, you know, and then that way it all makes perfect sense. But of course, it is mixed martial arts. You can never bank on anything. But in a perfect world, if it was my company, which it clearly isn't, that's how it would go down.
And what do you think about Gaethje versus Chandler? Because that's a killer fight. Just stylistically speaking, like, yeah, that's an awesome fight.
Yeah, you're right. I missed that piece of the puzzle. Exactly. And you do Gaethje versus Chandler, which is a fucking incredible fight. The only person that's not going to be happy with that is Michael Chandler, right? He's like, Jesus Christ, I just knocked out Dan Hooker. I thought I was getting close to a title shot. Now he's going to go through a guy, the human highlight reel, like Justin Gaethje.
The last guy to fight for the title. That's the perfect trajectory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you got to get through the guys. You know what I mean? That's the hard part. It's like, yeah, great fight if you beat him. That's a different kettle of fish. But, you know, he's only won one fight in the organization. Anyway, so there you go. The lightweight title picture is a little bit all over the place. But if I was a matchmaker, you know, it's pretty simple, Lewis.
Yeah, lots of exciting matchups. No matter, even though it's all over the place, lightweight has never looked this competitive, this exciting. You know, Khabib retiring, obviously, that mixes things up in a way that's really great for the fans, just if you're a fan of great fights.
So, Harrington, I kept teasing this. I kept pretending I was going to talk about this, but the fan situation at UFC 259, just explain actually what's going on there. So I think there's a competition, correct?
Yeah, so for the first time in the UFC Apex, there's going to be some fans allowed in. It's for the Błachowicz versus Adesanya light heavyweight.
Stop. I only do this because you get so much satisfaction out of correcting me. You do it all the time. It's like, no, sorry, Mike, you got that wrong. There's been fans in the Apex many, many times for the contender. You know, fans galore. You know what I mean? Oh, I've seen the place packed, Harrington, packed.
Fans out the wazoo. But
it's all over. You can't even get to the restroom. It's crazy. With that correction, duly noted, continue. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm humbled, obviously, by your greatness, sir. So the for the first time ever for a UFC fight night card at the Apex, there's going to be fans allowed there.
That makes sense.
You know, they're getting their feet wet, you know, if you will, about getting, you know, fans back in the arena in the United States. The way that they're going to be doing this, tickets are not going to be on sale. Fans are going to need to go to a website. I've already submitted myself for it. It's ufc.com/bestseats to enter. You get flown out there. You're going to get, you know, all kind of, you know, swag from Dana White and get personally, like, you know, shown around the entire Apex, which sounds like a pretty cool giveaway.
It's awesome. That's a fantastic giveaway. And that's another reason why the UFC does so well, not kissing their ass, but the interaction that they give their fans, the ability for the fans to actually talk to the fighters, engage with the fighters, and of course, in this sense, get flown down to Vegas and get VIP treatment. I mean, that's fucking awesome.
UFC was very progressive with that. I think they took a little bit of a page out of the WWE's book with how accessible they made their superstars. I went to the WrestleMania 10 and the WrestleMania 11 fan festival when I was a kid, and it was just a big, you know, expo center where you got to get online, take pictures, do different interactive things. Like, you know, you get to do your own commentary over a video. You get to, you know, just all of these different fun things. And the UFC, you know, a few years ago started doing the July 4th weekend fan expo. And that is you don't really see other organizations sort of putting their athletes out there like that, creating this fan interaction. It's very forward way of thinking.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is, I mean, maybe a Bellator could do that now, but there was no other organization that really had a big enough fan base to do that, you know, to do these expos. You know, I've been to a few of them. The ones that they used to do in Vegas, they were absolutely massive. There were so many people there. And then they did a couple in England. They did one around one of my fights when I fought Akiyama. And again, you know, these massive, massive halls just full of UFC fighters and stands and vendors and, you know, a lot of cool shit going on. If you're a fan, it's awesome. Then you go to that all day and then you go watch the fights in the evening. I mean, what a fantastic setup if you're a UFC fan. Okay. All right. Do we have any questions or anything like that? Brian, any fan interaction that we can go with?
I have one strange fan question.
If you guys want to join the conversation, by the way, shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. Fan art questions, video questions. We love the video questions. Make sure you guys send it to that email address specifically. And if we like it, we will play it on the show.
And I'm very nervous as to what this is going to be, Brian.
Hey, guys. There's Oisin from New Zealand here. This is the question for Michael. I was wondering, when do you reckon you hit rock bottom? When do you reckon was your turning point? When did you see, like, martial arts as an option, like a career choice?
Well, thank you. Three different questions there.
Well, bless him. But he's very softly spoken. He had the courage to send in a question. He delivered it very, very well. Okay, you know, multiple questions in one answer, you know, in one question. But still, what was the question? When did I hit rock bottom? I'll keep it real quick, and then you tell me, Lewis, when you hit rock bottom. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I think he was equating you hitting rock bottom and deciding to go into martial arts as a career as the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it was one and the same thing. I was, well, obviously, if you've read my book, I went to prison. I was in prison. I came out. I was working shitty dead-end jobs. And when you're younger, you don't care. You know what I mean? I had kids, but still, I was still 21, 22. And it's like, ah, whatever, who cares? But then you start to get a little bit older and you start to think, shit. And I remember I've told the story. My boss at the time was like, what do you want to do with your life? And I thought about all this type of thing. But before that, I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to join the army. Okay, I'm going to join the army. I'm going to join the military. I'm going to get on the boxing team. I'll be paid to train. And I tried to join the army and I couldn't even get in the goddamn fucking army, right? And I remember I was at work and I got a phone call and it was my wife. She said, yeah, the army just called. They won't take you. And I was like, wow. And I was like, you know, no disrespect to people in the military, but the infantry in the British army, you know, it should be, you know, as long as you can pass the requirements mentally to get in, you know, they were aggressively looking for people, but they wouldn't even take me. And I'm like, fuck me. You know what I mean? I can't even join the army. I've messed up my life so much at this age, this young age, that I can't even join the army. And I thought, I'm just going to be destined to a lifetime of shitty dead-end jobs. But thank God, whoever looked at my paper and said, no, you can't join the army, I thank you so much. Because could you imagine? None of this would have happened. I'd be in fucking Afghanistan right now. I might have had my leg blown off. I mean, I think it's better I got one eye. I might have one leg, Lewis.
You actually might be in way better physical...
I guarantee I would.
You'd be in a better physical place than you were right now. You got both eyes, both legs, no hole in your neck. You know, you got a fucking... I mean, rock bottom, it's a hard thing to say. When me and my son's mother broke up, sorry, I just fucking kicked my table.
Jeez Louise.
When me and my son's mother broke up, and I moved out, that was probably my darkest period. It was because, you know, in my, like, I didn't grow up with a family. I didn't grow up with a dad. My dad was murdered when I was a young man, when I was a young kid, 4 years old. And it, I felt like I was really failing my son by not giving him the traditional family, mother, father, brother, sister, whatever it is, right? Now, in retrospect, and it was rock bottom because I was using drugs and I was drinking every night and I was really in a very dark, I didn't care what happened to me. I was really in a dark place. Like I just felt like a complete failure and I wasn't really doing well financially. This, you know, 6-7 years ago. So I was still, you know, struggling as a comedian. We had just, you know, we didn't even start Gas Digital yet. So it was, you know, and there was no path to how am I going to make a lot of money. It was like I'd failed at keeping this family together. I wasn't good enough to sort of get back together and to get my life on track. And I was just in a really fucked up dark place. And now in retrospect, I look at it and I realize me and my son's mother weren't right for each other. We're so much better as friends now. Like she's in a happy relationship. I'm in a happy relationship. The, you know, we were arguing and we were so different and you know, incompatible that it was a bad matchup. Now I'm glad that we made this incredible child. It's the greatest thing in the world, not a regret in the world. But you know, a family, you know, isn't the traditional thing the same way that it used to be. I realized how that wasn't what's important. What's important is giving my kid a great life and making him happy and showing him, you know, just all the things that I didn't have as a kid, which he gets. He has such an incredible life. But yeah, at the time it was a really hard struggle. And, you know,
I'm sure.
I mean,
yeah, no, I don't doubt. And certainly something like that, when it's your family and children and things like that, you would feel bad. You'd feel, you know, like that you failed them. So I totally get that. And the thing is, when you say rock bottom, I mean, you know, that's a heavy term to use, but having the realization when you hit there, that's the thing. If you can, when you're at the so-called rock bottom, and by the way, you can always go further down that rock. You always go to the next level down. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. It could have been a lot worse for me and you, but having that realization when you get there, you're like, shit, look at this, look at where I've come to, look what my life has amounted to, or whatever is the situation that perhaps the person listening to this podcast is in, you know, having that realization that I need to make a change. I need to make a change about myself, and going forward, I've got to have some productive changes in my life. You know, that's a very powerful thing. I remember a friend of mine, he's an actor, he's a good actor, very well known, but I won't say his name. He was telling me, because he doesn't drink whatsoever. And he was telling me these stories when he would go out drinking, he just black out. And he told me some fucking wild stories. You know, he fucking ended up stabbing somebody and all kind. He was just blackout drunk, you know, and then he came to in a police cell and stuff. And fucking when he found out what he'd done, he's like, oh my God, he's like, wow. And it takes to actually really hit that rock bottom for you to think, wow, I've got to make some changes. I got to take the bull by the horns and really make some positive changes in my life. And he doesn't drink anymore. And fortunately, I'm not in prison, but I'm not in the army either, Lewis. So there you go.
And you're still drinking.
I'm trying not to, you know, well, in fact, today is the first day of the rest of my life, but that is our show. That is it.
Let me say real quick, guys, you love the show. Go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review, subscribe on our YouTube channel. And if you guys want every episode of the show that we've ever done, both ad-free and uncensored, you get them all at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. Also, I got a couple live dates coming up, believers. I'll be in Houston, Texas, February 12th and 14th at the Secret Group. I'll be in Lafayette, Louisiana, lafayettecomedy.com for tickets on the 13th of February. And then I'll be down in Austin doing Kill Tony podcast on the 15th of February. So lots of stuff coming up in the South this spring and this summer. Looks like things should be back to normal. Maybe me and Bisping will get on the road. Who knows?
We'll see. And maybe we'll finally do a Believe You Me podcast tour. There's lots of things, lots of touring in the pipelines for me, but we've got to get this fucking world open. Anyway, until we do another show, take care, look after yourselves. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.